This is about the Holy Spirit. That little game was an illustration about the Holy Spirit, in case you're not on to me for tonight. We're going to take a little comma in our series of teaching series. We just wrapped up the series on the Gospel of Mark last week, and I said we were going to start a new series this week, but I lied. We're actually going to start next week, and we're going to start a series called How to Be Happy. Seriously. And I'm the expert. You're going to want to come. So next week we're going to start the How to Be Happy series. How to be happy, the full title is How to Be Happy Without Being Immature. But that's next week. That's next week. This week, I figured since we just finished the Gospel of Mark, we just took a tour of the entire earthly life of Jesus. Just for the sake of completeness, I wanted to share with you tonight what are actually the final words of Christ on earth. So tonight we're going to take a look at Jesus' parting words. And you'll find the passage in the back of your program. Parting words tend to be important words, right? If you're leaving somebody behind, you've been their teacher for a number of years, as Jesus had been a teacher when he walked the earth. The last thing you're going to say to your peeps, that's going to be important, right? Parting words are often imparting words. They're the thing that you want foremost in the minds of those left behind. And we're taking a look at Jesus' parting words, which actually don't take place in a gospel. They take place in the book of Acts. Many of you will know that the book of Acts is a historical book in the Bible. It follows the Gospels. The Gospels are historical books about Jesus' life. And then the book of Acts is about the lives of Jesus' apostles, about the ones that were sent out into the world immediately after Jesus left the earth. And chapter 1 is sort of a transition between those two eras. Jesus has not quite ascended to heaven yet. He's got just, you know, a little bit of time left with his boys. And we get his parting words in the very first chapter of the book of Acts. So you can follow along in the back of the program. If that print is just too small, it'll be up on the big screen behind me. And this is the author Luke. He's a historian of the early church. And he is addressing this book to someone named Theophilus, which literally means lover of God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Some translations will read, "You will be filled up with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" They still got it in their heads that Jesus is going to restore the country of Israel to glory. But he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I didn't really need to include that last part about Jesus going up into heaven, but I just think it's so funny. You know, could you imagine? And then two guys say, "What are you looking at?" "Well, the guy just floated up into heaven." Is it just me or is that funny? Never mind. All right, last words. You find out a few things. Those of you who went through Mark with us, you found out how Jesus exited, what happened to him, right? He floated up into the sky after spending 40 days giving final instructions to the disciples, apostles, they're called in the book of Acts. Then there's this punchline that the advice, the parting words that Jesus is giving them, he's saying, don't do anything until you receive power from this thing called the Holy Spirit. Right? Don't do anything until you're powered up. Now, these guys had spent a few years walking around with Jesus. They had performed miracles in Jesus' name. They had been part of Jesus' miracle ministry. They had heard his teachings. You know, they had excellent training from Jesus himself. And then Jesus is about to leave them. He has already told them in the Gospels that they were to be his witnesses throughout the world. They're going to go travel around the world and spread the message of God's love. But the last thing he says is, don't try this unless you got power from heaven, right? You guys, you might feel like you're equipped well. You might feel like you got the right tool. But until you get juiced up, right, until you get electricity from the Holy Spirit, don't try it, you know, by implication, because you won't do very well, right? This is the most important thing I'm going to give you. These are my parting words, right? The most important thing I could say right now is this. Don't try it without supernatural power from the Holy Spirit. That would be dumb. Don't do that. That's the last thing we have recorded that Jesus said, and then, you know, he floats up into the sky, makes a dramatic exit, and gets hidden by a cloud. In John 16, another one of the Gospels, Jesus talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the power from the Holy Spirit, and he tells the disciples on that day, it's good for you that I'm going away. It's good for you that I'm going to leave you and go up into heaven. Because unless I go, the counselor, the helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus actually says on that occasion, it's better for you that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come and fill you up with power. It's actually better for you that I'm not going to be around. Does that make sense? Really? I mean, do you really believe that if we're trying to change the world, it's better not to have Jesus with us? Would you prefer to have Jesus here tonight, or would you prefer to listen to me teach? I'm humble. It doesn't matter what you say. But Jesus thinks it's better for us to move in the power of the Holy Spirit than just to have him here doing a bunch of stuff. Why do you suppose he says that? I think it probably has something to do with the multiplication effect. I mean, Jesus was, at least when he walked the earth, he was just one guy, right? He could do amazing miracles, but could he reach the whole world? No. But if he fills all of us up with power and we go out and do the same things that he was doing, that's a much more efficient business model, right? Unfortunately, the material that he's working with is not always all that great, but we do the best we can, right? We do the best we can. There's an interesting corollary in this passage I like to focus on tonight. A corollary is a point that follows from the main point. However we are to live out our Christian mission to spread the message of God's love around the world, it seems clear that we are to do it in a way that requires supernatural power. Right? That's what follows from this passage. Let me go through that again. However it is that we're supposed to spread the message of God's love around the world, because Jesus said, don't try it unless you're filled up with power from the Holy Spirit, I conclude he meant for us to do it in a way that required supernatural power, right? The disciples were in pretty good shape after Jesus rose from the dead. You know, he was giving them final instructions. They knew everything he'd ever said, right? They had actually walked with him. You talk about modeling. You talk about a seminary education, right? They were well positioned. Jesus had left them with a following of about 120 people, evidently, we get from the book of Acts. But he said, no, the way I intend for you to go about spreading the message of God's love has to do with supernatural power. You have to be filled with miracle-working power yourselves. Right? So I conclude that whatever Jesus intended, he intended for us to have supernatural power. What does that mean for you? If I say, you can't accomplish what Jesus intended for you to do unless you're filled up with the Holy Spirit. That it would be impossible under our own power. That's one thing you could conclude. What else? Yeah, there's certainly he wants us plugged in, right? The Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that we have to do, we have to stick tight with him, right? What else? Don't quote scripture. Not all of us know it very well. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8, proves the love of God, I think is where you're going with that. That's true. Yeah, what else? Praising the Father is always good. I think this thing about doing the impossible. Yes, sir?
We're not going to bring the kingdom doing what comes next.
An interesting way to put it. We're not going to bring the kingdom, this kingdom that Jesus was talking about. We're not going to do it in a way that comes naturally. Yeah, I like that, right? Because he's talking about supernatural power. We're not going to do it because, you know, we're cool. We're not going to be able to do it through political coercion or anything like that. Those are things that humans tend to be really good at. We're not going to do it through great salesmanship or being really, really smart. We're only going to be able to do it in an unnatural or supernatural manner. That seems to be what Jesus is saying. And I just find that very curious. Are we doing it that way as a community? Are we trying to spread the message of God's love in a way that would be impossible were it not for supernatural power? Or are we doing it in a way that comes naturally to us? Right? Those of you who are followers of Jesus, are you trying to spread the message of God's love in a way that you could not possibly accomplish were it not for supernatural power from God? Or you try to do it in a way that's kind of comfortable that you might succeed at because you're, I don't know, really clever or, you know, really good looking or something like that? It's just a provocative question. How would we know if we're doing it in a way that's unnatural or that's supernatural? And I'm not sure that I'm able to define that. What follows this passage in the book of Acts is a radical story. All of these guys go out and they preach with great boldness despite opposition and death threats. And most of Jesus' apostles, actually 11 out of 12 of the original apostles die very violent deaths. Most famously in the book of Acts, after this event, they go out and they perform all these miracles. They heal sick people. They get prophetic messages, as Vern shared tonight. They raise the dead on occasion. So that's pretty unnatural. They become men who are different than they were previously, doing things that you could not explain without the presence of God. And thus begins what you might call the age of the Holy Spirit, which is what we live in now. Right? We don't live in the age of Jesus walking the earth anymore, but we do live in an age where the power of the Holy Spirit can actually flow through us the same way that electricity flows through a power saw. Right? Doesn't matter how sharp your blade is, if you don't have that electricity flowing through, you can't do the thing. Doesn't matter how good we are, if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, we're not going to be able to do our thing, to accomplish our mission. But we live in an age when that power is available. That's the story of Acts. For Christians, for people who follow Jesus, I would say following the Lord is supposed to be walking with the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus equals walking with the Holy Spirit. I'm not always sure what walking with the Holy Spirit is going to involve, but I know it's supposed to be that in some fashion. The Holy Spirit, most theologians will tell you, is the very presence of God living within us. We are to be people of God's presence. I'm fond of this exercise. If God showed up tonight, if he showed up and sort of stood here next to me and maybe shared a nice sermon with you, maybe, you know, almost as good as mine, maybe he healed a few sick people, you know, much like Jesus did, or something like that. And then at the end of the night, after a few miracles, he ascended to heaven. What would you do when you left? Would you go out and tell people? What would you go out and tell people? Would you go out and tell people all the things that God taught you?
No, I can tell them I met God.
The thing that you would share when you go out in the streets is, oh my gosh, he was here. Right? That would be the coolest thing. I can't believe it. God was here. Anything that God said or did during the course of the evening would be almost incidental to that fact. Right? You get really, really excited about God being here. And the final words of Jesus say, hey, the presence of God is going to flow through you. Right? That presence, the thing that we get so excited about, God being here, he now indwells us. I think that's why it was Jesus's parting words, right? The most important thing. Guys, I can only be with you from time to time, right? We're entering an age where the presence of God is going to be like right upon you and within you. Wherever you go, God goes, right? That's what it's going to be like. That's why Jesus gave the parting words that he did. If the Holy Spirit is with us like that, if we have the same miracle-working power of God that Jesus operated in, we wouldn't be wise people, right? We wouldn't go around bragging about how smart we are. We would be people of his presence, right? We would say, God is with us. That's what we'd be saying. That would be our message. The noteworthy thing about nightlife, about our community, would be the presence of the Almighty God when we got together. That's what we'd be talking about. So here we are at the beginning of the summer. My suggestion is that we take the summer and try to be about that. If Jesus were walking with us, like if Jesus came every Sunday night to nightlife, how would we approach our job to spread the message of God's love around the world? If Jesus, we knew that at 6 p.m., Jesus was going to walk through the door, he was going to sit here on the steps, how would we approach spreading the message of God's love to people who had never heard it before? What would we do? You post it on the internet. Good. A marketer. I like that. Yeah. How would you go about spreading the message of God's love if you knew Jesus was going to be here 6 p.m. Sunday night? Yeah. Tell everybody. And what would you tell them exactly? Okay. And why? Why is that cool? Live. And so what? He has the power to change anything. So there's going to be a guy here, 6 p.m. every Sunday night, that has the power to change anything. Okay. And you would say that because why? Because he's changed me. Because he's changed you? Still changing you. And I think you'd say that because you know that Jesus was here to back up what you said. Right? Right? I mean, that's the key ingredient, that you know, that the Lord himself would be here to make good on your braggadocio, right? On you going out there. No, he can change anything. God can change anything. Come, I'll prove it. And then you'd bring the person down the aisle and you'd say, okay, Jesus, prove it. And you'd back up. Right? Right? That's what you do. But I think Jesus said, no, it's better that you have the Holy Spirit. Right, which I think means, come 6 p.m. Sunday nights, the presence of God will be there. And we know that God can change anything, with the caveat that now instead of the person of Jesus being here, the power has to flow through us to change anything in people's lives. Right? Which is why we do like healing prayer ministry at the end of the service. Right? We believe that the power of God can flow through the likes of us to change anything in your body that needs to be changed, or to help you get free of addictions that you might have. It's the same boast. It's just now that the presence flows through us instead of through Jesus Christ. That's the implication of what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1. Do we have the power that Jesus had to do these crazy things? Yeah. Yeah, actually Jesus said, oh, it's better. Yeah, you have all that power and more because you're all working together. Right? Your reach is greater. That kind of makes me feel excited and scared at the same time, that I should be giving that boast, but that I'm the one who has to back it up with the power of God flowing through the likes of me. Very scary. But I want to make the summer about that, by which I mean I would like to encourage us as a community to live the next few months in a way that's very, very unnatural. Basically, the story of the book of Acts, some of us have been through it in small groups, the story of the people that followed up on Jesus' parting words, where they went out and they preached that God loved everyone, and they preached that message to everyone they encountered in all sorts of strange places, people that had no business listening to them. And then they said, and, you know, we'll lay hands on you if you're sick. Or, you know. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, and they were big believers, you know, they preached the word, but they preached the word to people who never heard it before. They just said, you know, come, let's see if God can change your life. And if he does a miracle, then you know that what I've said about him loving you is true. I would give two tips for you in the summer. One, the same tip that Jesus gave the disciples, get powered up through the Holy Spirit. Get some supernatural power. The disciples, for roughly 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, they just prayed together. They just met in a room and they prayed together, and they prayed to receive the gift that Jesus had talked about. They prayed for power from on high, and then they got it in a big way, and they immediately went out into the streets and started preaching and healing people. Every once in a while at Nightlife, we do these things called Holy Spirit retreats, where we go away together for a weekend. And we learn a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and then we spend Saturday evening out on the beach, and we invite the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us up with power. And we've got all sorts of good stories about that. But you don't have to go on one of these Holy Spirit retreats to receive that sort of power from on high. The biblical model, insofar as there is one, is just get together and pray for that power to come and see what happens. Just to wait around together and ask the Lord to power you up. Small groups are a great place to have that experience. Every small group that we run together as a fellowship has, as one of its components, a portion of the time where you get in a circle and you pray for one another, don't you? You pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. A good thing to pray for in those circles in your small groups is for empowerment, is for the Holy Spirit to fill you up, to pump you up. I may be dating myself a little bit with that quote, but if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask about it in your small groups, and I guarantee your small group leaders will know just what to do. Right? So get powered up. That's step one. And then step two, find opportunities to try for miracles. Find opportunities to try and do things that are completely unnatural to you. Look for them. And when you see one, you go for it. When I first started out in healing ministry, I decided for a week that I would just pray for all the sick people I encountered. I was amazed at how many sick people there were. Suddenly, everywhere I looked, sick people. Right? And I'd be like, oh, no. I mean, I'm on the bus. You know, but a woman would come in with a limp, you know, and you'd have to go over and say, excuse me, ma'am, I'm with the church down here, and I just noticed that you're having some pain in your leg. I wonder if right now I could pray that the Lord would take it away. Right? You just kind of do that. You find opportunities to do unnatural things, impossible things, and then you see what happens. If all of us did it, too, there's about as many people here, about 120 people here, as were in the upper room the day on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, which on the calendar was last week. Last Sunday. That was Pentecost Sunday. So the number of people here were the number of disciples that Jesus had when he left the earth. And they changed everything. Okay, so if we just did that for the summer, if we just prayed for power, and then we looked for opportunities to do impossible things to bless people, at the end of the summer, how many cool stories would we have? If we all did it. We all have to do it. How many? 120 cool stories. I like the symmetry in how you think. Yeah. What do you think would happen? Yeah? How many do you think, Matt?
I think we won't really have a definite number
We wouldn't have a definite number.
But
it would be up there. I'm sure sometimes it would be funny. But yeah, God would give you so many experiences, right? For sure we'd have stories about, yeah, well, you know, the lady on the bus, you know, she started walking fine after I prayed for her. I didn't expect that. Or we'd have stories about, you know, maybe you failed at pulling off the miracle, but you'd have a story. You'd have a story, and your summer will not be boring if you do it that way, right? And for a lot of you, I bet your summer would be exciting and filled with supernatural occurrences if you did it, if you tried it. If you don't try it, of course, you know, you won't have any of those experiences. Your summer will be different. Boring. This is a very, very simple recommendation. This is what I think we should do for this summer. In your small groups, pray for power. If you're not in a small group, go to one, pray for some power. There's a listing of small groups in the back of your program if you have no idea where to go. And there are more even than are listed there. You can contact Kelly if you need information about that. But go, pray for some power, and then if you see a sick person, say, oh, you're sick. I've seen the Lord do a lot of stuff here. Do you mind if I pray for you to get better? It'll take me 15 seconds. So, go for it. See how many stories you can collect. And maybe, you know, that starts the revolution that Vern was talking about. I'm delighted that she shared some stuff that she felt the Lord was saying to her, that the Lord kept her up at night, you know, exciting her and sharing details with her. Because, you know, when the Lord says something, it's a great invitation to follow through, on the revolution. Well, that's just food for thought. The parting words of Jesus, stuff to think about. If you're going to live as Jesus directed you to live, you cannot live naturally. You cannot do the thing that came naturally to you. Do something unnatural. Do something supernatural. Invite the Lord to fill you with the power to pull it off well. And I recommend you try and do a few crazy things over the summer. Let's stand together. As I say, we like to end every nightlife just by doing some prayer ministry time. Maybe some members of the prayer ministry team could come forward. And if you've come tonight with some need, you are sick or you have some injury in your body, or you'd like the Lord to speak to you, give you some tips for how to live the next portion of your life, people on the prayer ministry team would be happy to pray for you and to invite the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to come upon you and to do something totally supernatural